Hello? Are you ready?
Yes.
Then we'll begin.
England, 932 AD. A kingdom divided. To the west, the Anglo-Saxons. To the east, the French. Above, nothing but Celts and some people from Scotland. In Gwynedd, Powys, and Dyfed, plague. In the kingdoms of Wessex, Sussex, Essex, and Kent, plague. In Mercia and the two Anglias, plague, with a 50% chance of pestilence and famine coming out of the northeast at 12 miles per hour. Legend tells us of an extraordinary leader who arose from the chaos to unite a troubled kingdom. A man with a vision who gathered knights together in a holy quest. This man was Arthur, King of the Britons. For this was England!
And that is the oh-so-dramatic beginning of the musical Monty Python's Spamalot, a Tony Award-winning musical, I should add, which is the next production at Parkland Theatre, Parkland College in Champaign. It opens on Thursday and will continue through Saturday, May 3rd. Those are Thursday, Friday, Saturday performances, generally with some exceptions, which we'll go over as time goes along here. This is Live and Local. The show is your connection to local performances. And Monty Python Spamalot, the topic of our first portion of the program today. We have with us a number of members of the cast who are going to give us a live preview of the show, as well as the stage director, Dallas Street. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Spamalot, your choice, or the theaters?
The theaters, basically. And it was also on the short list of shows we wanted to do. People kept saying, when are you doing Spamalot? And the thing is, we couldn't legally do it until all of the professional theaters were finished with it. So there was a list of theaters around the country who were on the waiting list to do it, and we got the rights to be the first to premiere it on the amateur collegiate level here in town.
How does that sort of thing work? I mean, I've heard of that issue comes up with great regularity. You know, some newish musical comes out, everybody wants to do it, nobody can do it and then you get on this magical list.
Until the equity theaters perform it, or if they want to. We couldn't legally announce we were doing it until Sullivan's Little Theater closed. The day after they closed, we could say we're doing Spamalot. But it was
and
part
they did
of our
it, what a year last year?
Last summer.
Last summer.
Yeah. So the day after they closed, we could legally say this is our show for the season.
What's any idea? What are the criteria for getting next in line for a show like that?
I really don't know.
Luck of the draw?
Yeah, basically.
Put in your name and they tell you you can do it, or you never hear from them again or something like that.
Yeah, Springfield did a production as well as Bloomington before us, but we're the CU premiere.
So did you leap at the chance to do this show yourself as director?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a show that's kind of up my alley. It's colorful and splashy and silly, and it's a show that I knew that the talent was out there in the community to pull it off well. A lot of great comedians and comedians on our stage, and we've got a really wonderful cast of community actors, Parkland students. A high school student from Buckley who drives for 45 minutes each night, and people coming in from Decatur and Danville as well. We had an enormous turnout for auditions.
I would imagine so. I did see a Sullivan's production at the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And first I'd seen the show myself. I had only known of its existence up to that point. And it's a riot.
It is.
To say the very least. When you say the show is right up your alley, you gave some characteristics, but describe your alley a little bit.
I love Broadway. I have this map in my office of Broadway theaters, and there are pins in them. And I counted them up recently, and I've seen 102 shows in New York. I love musicals, and I especially love joyous musicals. I think that's what the musical theater does best is joy, happiness, silliness. Although I adore Sondheim and serious musicals, to me there's nothing like a great audience-pleasing show to feel the electricity in the theater of the crowd having a great time, energizing the cast and the show just firing on all cylinders. I think that's what musical theater does best.
And how does this particular one fit all of those?
We're having more fun than should be legally possible, but it's also probably one of the biggest headaches. This show is huge. It's multiple set pieces, costumes, you know, are bursting out of the dressing rooms. The thing about, you know, the Monty Python troupe and let's see, what am I trying to say? They're constantly introducing characters for a quick sight gag. So if someone says, bring in the can-can girls, you have to have can-can girls and you have to have can-can skirts. And so Malia Andrus, who's our costume designer and also one of our chorus girls, has done an amazing job. Last night was our first dress rehearsal, and some people made it out on stage in time for certain scenes. Other times we had to hold. So we're working through that process right now, but it's really one of the largest, most complicated shows that we've done.
So let's see. Today's the 15th. That means you have tonight and tomorrow to get them all out on stage at the
Absolutely.
Right time. Yeah, before you open up on Thursday. Let's assume that some of our listeners don't know what this show comes from. There's a sort of a long subtitle, if we can call it that, that at least always shows up on the poster.
Right, right. Monty Python Spamalot, lovingly ripped off from the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So it's basically Eric Idle, who was one of the original members, created the stage version, incorporating some songs from the movie and some songs from other Monty Python projects, as well as original material. But it's basically the story of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and their quest to find the Holy Grail, and their comedic quest because there's all kinds of shenanigans, and it's one of the most quotable movies. There's the Knight of Knee, the Black Knight, who, you know, of course, gets his arms and legs chopped off. But Tim the Enchanter. But there are all of these great, great comedic scenes, and to see them brought to life on stage is really pretty amazing. Especially when they're done by talented actors.
When I wrote the promo for today's show, in which I said that I remembered as a kid coming to school every day after the Holy Grail came out, mm-hmm. which was 1975, I think, and all the kids at lunchtime who had seen the movie, which I had not. Would be quoting it endlessly, and of course, anytime they'd see their reruns of Monty Python, although in those days it could have still been the originals, quoting those things endlessly as well. And I didn't even get this whole thing until finally, I think, I got to college and saw the show, and then it was years and years after that before I finally saw the movie. So I started to get it eventually, but there's all kinds. I don't know if you need to be in the Monty Python cult.
I don't think so, but I mean it's a good chance that your seatmate or someone near you may be quoting the lines along with the actors on stage, or waiting for a certain moment to happen. It's just that kind of show.
Right up there with
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror, exactly, where people know the lines and all the cues for
exactly.
Props and so on. Well, I know you you brought some cast members in here, and we're going to have a couple songs
yes.
and a scene, I think.
That's right.
From here. What is the sequence? What are we going to start with?
We're going to start with a song called Find Your Grail, and it's led by Mara Sotelo, who plays the character Lady of the Lake, which was created for the musical, and she's kind of the female of the show. She's probably got the biggest vocal demands, but Mara definitely can handle that.
And does, when you say the female of the show, you mean the actual woman as opposed to females played by men?
Well, there's one female character. There are showgirls and other smaller roles, but there's one female character who's a common thread throughout the evening.
And any other setup required for her song?
I don't think so. This is right after Arthur has been spoken to by God, telling him to find the Grail. And the Lady of the Lake appears.
Mara Sotelo from Parkland Theater's production of Monty Python's Spamalot, live in our studio here on Live and Local.
Trust in your soul, keep your eyes on the goal, then the prize you won't fail. That's your grail, that's your grail. So be strong, keep right on to the end of your. Find your grail.
When life seems to drift, when we all need a lift, trim your sails, you won't fail. Find your grail, find your grail. Life is really up to you. You must choose what to pursue. Set your mind on what to find.
And there's nothing you can't do. You can't do.
Ooh. So keep running.
Song about the Middle Ages is not what you'd expect to be sung gospel style.
Right. There seems some out-of-place riffing.
Yeah. Mara Sotelo in the role of the Lady of the Lake from Monty Python's Spamalot. We heard the voice briefly, solo of Michael Steen in the role of King Arthur, rather important role, and then the backing vocals by the rest of the guys who are in the studio with us, Mike Procise and Aaron Clark and Dallas Street, who stepped back. He's the director for the show. And at the keyboard, Yawen Wong, who's accompanist for... Did you play through the whole full rehearsal process?
Yes.
Something new to you, this kind of show?
Actually, it's all new. It's all new to me. It's really new.
Meaning musical theater or the show particularly?
This is my first time doing musical rehearsal pianist.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
And this is a really difficult musical.
Something you're going to branch out into and do in the future?
Yeah. This is really interesting. It's really fun.
Not a bad introduction to musical theater, this particular show. The music's by, does he say it, John Dupre?
Right.
And Eric Idle himself. Yes. I hadn't realized until looking things up a little bit yesterday that Eric Idle was something of a musician. Is the fact that there's a gospel song in this show indicative of the... So we say heterogeneity of the music.
I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of musical types, styles in the show. There's kind of a calypso disco number, a lot of fun marches, and of course some of the songs from the movie Knights of the Round Table, if you know that. And of course there's that headbanging monks chant, if you remember from the movie.
Eric Idle, of course, one of the original cast members of Monty Python. The other guys weren't so keen on this idea, as I understand it, at least until they started getting royalty checks.
Right. Yeah, it could be. I know John Cleese was the voice of God on Broadway. In the materials they send out for us to perform, it's performed by Eric Idle. So I don't know if there were some contractual problems there trying to reach a settlement. I don't know.
I read that decision of Eric Idle's actually caused a bit of a rift between him and John Cleese.
Could be.
Yeah. So you don't know whether the other Pythons really had any involvement in the idea, or did they give blessing to the show?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It would be have been fun to, you know, imagine what Spamalot with some of the original Pythons would have been like, aside from the voice of one of them or another. Is this sort of like Monty Python fans worshiping Monty Python in general? You know, by borrowing from at least a couple of the films and
there's a little of that, yeah. There's a great song, you know, "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life," which comes from the life of Brian. That's a classic one that everyone knows. But the show definitely. Caters to the Monty Python fan. But you don't have to be a fan or know any of these sketches or skits going into it to fully enjoy it.
Mike Procise is on his feet here with something to say
about
this.
I'm a big Monty Python fan. And I actually was looking at, because I was curious about the same thing, just how the original troupe, you know, what their thoughts were about doing this, because Eric Idle originally had the idea and wanted to get the original troupe together to create it and maybe even be in it or just have, you know, some sort of a presence around it. And they, all of them unanimously said, nope, not interested, because they have all since done their own things. Mm-hmm. You know, they've all kind of split off and they're all kind of known for their own things now as well. And I think it was Terry Gilliam said, I'm not interested in a show that's just going to rehash a bunch of Monty Python jokes. And so I think that's what they thought it was going
right.
to be. And then what it turned out being is that's more of the backdrop, really, is the Python bits that we know are kind of the backdrop. It's really more of the way it's structured and the story it tells is more it's a sounding board for spoofing all the different types of Broadway shows and Broadway numbers. And you know, it's really it's a nice solid base for a fun, big production. And, you know, at least according to Wikipedia and some other, you know, some other wonderful sources that I looked at, a lot of the original members did come around. And when they saw what the actual production ended up being, they were really pleased And of course, they don't mind those royalty checks.
I'm not sure they don't. So does Spamalot pretty much follow the storyline of the Holy Grail?
Pretty much. There are, well, of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't
pretty
mean
much.
You know, the, so, the quote unquote real Holy Grail.
Right, right. Yeah, pretty much. There are a couple scenes in the movie that aren't in the play. But if you were lucky enough to see the Chicago production, you probably saw those because they lost some of those scenes on the road to Broadway. I've had a couple people asking, "Is the cow song in there?" Which I guess the Lady of the Lake was in a beautiful sequined cow dress and sang this song about being a cow. I didn't myself see it, but that's not an option for us to perform.
So it's the show didn't originate on Broadway.
No. They tried out in Chicago first.
Oh, good for Illinois and Chicago,
yeah.
Especially. The Parkland Theater production of Monty Python's Spamalot will open this Thursday with a show at 7:30, and then there's Friday and Saturday evening shows, also 7:30, and then the following weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday are at 7:30. There's a Sunday matinee the 27th at 3, and then back to the Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening for May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's the full run of the show, and I think we have a scene of some sort.
Yes, it's a scene between Arthur and the French taunter. And we wanted to include it because, to me, the dialogue is just as musical as the songs. And for Python fans, they'll appreciate Mike Prosser's interpretation of the French taunter.
For non-Python fans, what would be the setup to know who or why is there a French taunter?
Mike?
Ah, well, we're searching for the Holy Grail, you see, and we've ridden, well, in the musical, essentially all over the world, looking for the Holy Grail, and we end up in France, and we're hungry and want a place to stay for the night, and there are these obnoxious French people blocking our way.
At the top of a large castle.
Yes, at the top of a large castle.
Mm-hmm. Hello!
Hello? Who is it?
It is King Arthur, and these are my knights of the Round Table. Whose castle is this?
This is the castle of my master, Guy de Lambert, the French bastard.
Well, tell your master that we have been sent by God on a sacred quest, and if he will give us food and shelter for the night, he may join us on our quest for the Holy Grail.
Well, okay, I'll ask him, but I don't think he'll be very keen. He's already got one, you see.
What?
He says he's already got one.
Are you sure he's got one?
Oh, yes. It's very nice. Hey, I told him we already got one.
Well, can we come in and have a look?
Of course not. You're English bedwetting taps.
Well, what are you then?
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
If you will not show us the grail, we will take this castle by force.
You don't threaten us, you English pig dogs. Go and boil your bottoms, you sons of a silly person. I'll blow my nose at you, so-called Arthur King, you and all your silly English kniggets.
Now look here, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whoppers. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries. Now go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
Is there someone else we can talk to?
Hey, no chance, son of window dresser. I'll wave my private parts at your aunties, you tanny brand whappers of other people's bottoms.
I command you, in the name of the Knights of Camelot, to open the doors to this sacred castle to which God himself has guided us.
Oh, well, I burst my pimples at you and call your door-opening request a silly thing. You cheesy lot of second-hand electric donkey bottom batters.
Making a rude gesture. just so you know, I'm not sure how well that translates to radio, but many rude gestures
yes.
ensue.
If George Bernard Shaw had lived, this is probably the scene that he would have written. It's right. It's classy, classy highbrow stuff.
Yeah. I'm looking at a line here, actually from the Parkland Theater website contains some mild language and a general Python-esque naughtiness, parents should email the address to ask about appropriateness.
There are some mild four-letter words. One of the characters comes out as gay, and there are some rude gestures, but it's basically a big, splashy, fun Broadway musical. Everything's totally forgivable.
Including – so what we just heard is about is almost as bad.
Well,
as
there are some four-letter words.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a little naughty.
A little bit. That is a particularly wonderful scene. Mike Prosise as the French taunter, but also in the role of Lancelot.
Yes.
In the time-honored tradition of Monty Python, right. I gather that many of the people in the show are playing multiple characters.
Yeah, and that's where we get to play with a lot of this as well. It doesn't bang you over the head with kind of fourth wall kind of things, but there are some times that we get to acknowledge that, yes, we are doing a show here, you know, so it is fun to put the same actor in a lot of different costumes and see... Mm-hmm. You know, what he or she does. And I'm one of the lucky ones and gets some of the juicy, funny little
It's true. He gets the most quotable roles.
I do. I am kind of ready for opening night, just a sea of people out there completing my lines for me in some of these scenes. But, I play the French taunter along with Sir Lancelot and one of the knights who says knee. And Tim the Enchanter, as well as some others. So there's...
But not the Black Knight.
Not the Black Knight.
I'm sorry.
No. I was robbed.
You can't. The Black Knight. You can't have it all. Well, the folks we have in the room, the one I've seen probably the most in shows is Mike Steen. And I'm kind of curious to know how King Arthur fits into your repertoire. He's actually the serious character of the show.
He is the serious character. And it's a lot of fun. So many talented actors, and I just get to be, you know, very normal and straight-laced and bounce them off of me. It's a fun role. It's very low for me musically. But it's been a good time. I'm really enjoying it.
And low because King Arthur, of course, must be at least
a
baritone.
Yes, I think the role was written for Tim Curry, who is just a bass. So it's a pretty down there sort of role musically.
And we were speaking earlier of Rocky Horror, Tim Curry
of
Rocky Horror fame. What was his name? Dr. Frankenfurter.
You know,
I've never, never seen that movie either.
Really?
Yeah. And
That's your assignment for this evening.
Yeah, I stood in line once at the Biograph Theater in Chicago to see it, and I guess the line was so long I got out and never got back in.
It's
another
a trip.
One. Yeah. Well, we have another song from the show, and it was mentioned earlier, and this one actually does show up in Monty Python's Life of Brian, which is probably my own favorite of the Monty Python films. It comes up right at the very end. It's one of the most ridiculous songs that you could possibly imagine, at least in context. But go see that movie if you haven't already. And this doesn't come at the end of that. Completely different context, though.
Right. It's in the middle of the quest, and Arthur is getting frustrated, and his horse, Patsy, you know, who's ever faithful, it's his job to cheer him up.
This is a total nightmare. You'd think it would be easy. One, round up a bunch of knights. Two, seek and find the Grail. Five.
Three, sir.
Three, go home. But no, I'm so depressed.
Aw. Cheer up, sire. You know what they say.
What do they say, Patsy?
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
You give it a try.
When life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, Don't be silly, Chance. Just push your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Side of life. Side of life.
From Monty Python's Spamalot, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, Aaron Clark in the role of Patsy the horse. That must get tiring to play that role, by the way.
Oh, well, the biggest part is the backpack that I have to wear. So it's this huge backpack full of Arthur stuff that I have to carry around. But that's about the worst part. You know, galloping around, you know, gives you great exercise. Got to clop those coconuts the entire time for Arthur.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, it does require a lot of galloping.
Yes.
In the same sort of position.
You would be surprised how exhausting the galloping is.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's why I asked. I thought it might well be.
I thought, yeah. Oh, that's easy, you know. And then after a little bit, you're just like, oh, my God.
You got mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
have that giant pack. Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good. It's good. It's a great bonding experience with the king. Yes. So get used to being his horse.
With the king, you said?
The yeah. king, yeah. yeah.
You both get cramps in your
my
thighs.
My faithful steed.
Michael Steen as King Arthur. And the rest of the cast joining in the background. We have Mara Sotelo as Lady of the Lake and Mike Procise as Lancelot and others, and Dallas Street as stage director for the show. At the keyboard, Yawen Wong, who's been accompanist for the show, and Matt Shepard, not with us today, is the musical director and I presume conducting
Absolutely.
The production.
Yeah.
And it opens at Parkland Theater on the campus of Parkland College in Champaign on Thursday night at 7:30. Evening performances this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then next Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the matinee on Sunday at 3. And then the third weekend, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, also Thursday, Friday, Saturday, evening performances at 7:30. And Dallas, if one wants tickets, how does one go about it?
The easiest way is to go to the Parkland website, parkland.edu/theater. There's a form you fill out, you'll receive a confirmation email, and you can pick them up that evening at the theater. Or you can call 351-2528. Let us know when you'd like to attend, how many tickets you need, and I'll personally return your call and confirm. And I do want to say that tickets are really selling well for this. So I'd encourage everyone, if they want to see it, to make the reservation soon.
Rather than just show up.
Yes, absolutely. I anticipate us selling out several performances of this, and they'll want to make sure that they're on the reservation list when they show up.
Yeah, you don't want to show up unannounced on the day, one of those days that's
right.
sold out.
I mean, Parkland Theater is a great space, but we only have 314 seats. And I was telling someone it's like being in a Broadway house. These 314 seats would be the premium seats that they would charge $500 for. So everyone gets, you know, a premium orchestra seat in our theater.
Yeah, you really can see from everywhere.
Absolutely, yes.
Just fine. And if you are concerned about appropriateness for your young tot, you can email with the question to theater@parkland.edu, and Dallas will probably answer that question too.
I've been saying it's for mature youth and immature adults.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Very well
put. If you fall in that range, you'll love it.
Very well put. All right. Well, thank you all very much for coming in. Based on my one experiencing, it's a really, really fun show. Very, very funny. And based on the guys and girl who are in here, if the cast is as accomplished as you guys are, it should be a great show.
Yeah, it's a great cast of 18.
18. That doesn't sound so huge.
It's not so huge, but we tried to keep it down because you've got to put costumes on these people.
Yeah, you do.
We're breaking the bank as it is.
Yeah, Monty Python, Spamalot. Thank you all very much for coming in. And thanks for listening to Live and Local today. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Some music next, a performance by the Hot Club of Detroit here on Live and Local.